listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting live and in Technicolor from unceded Coast Salish territory in Burnaby, British Columbia, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University. Remember that you can listen to us online at cjsf.ca and that you can also find all the podcasts created for and by Mankind at cjsf.ca/contents/metal-meltdown. All right, we just listened to League of Distortion. They are from Germany. And we listened to the song It Hurts So Good, which features Anise OK. And this is from the self-titled album from 2022, League of Distortion. Before that, we listened to Dark Matter. They are from the United Kingdom. And we listened to the song The Great Divide, which is part of their 2022 album, Directory. And we started with our guests tonight, All Else Fails, from Edmonton in Canada. And we listened to the song Crystal Mountain, which is part of their latest EP from last year, titled The Incident at Black Lake. And that being said, we're going to play one more song by All Else Fails, our guests tonight. And then after that, we're going to go right into chatting with Barrett. And so stay tuned. We'll be right back here at the Metal Meltdown. are back here at the Metal Meltdown. I am your host, El Dr. Misterio, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. And yeah, we just listened to Flesh Excess Wealth by our guests All Else Fails, part of their brand latest EP, The Incident at Black Lake. And let's try to make contact with, Barrett. So bear with us for a few seconds. And let's see if technology cooperates with us this evening. We are trying to reach Barrett. And this is live, so bear with us. Okay, there
you
go.
You reached Barrett Klusko. Please leave me a message.
Okay, we got voicemail. Well, we're going to try again. In the meantime, let us try again. And, yes. So I don't want to put music and then, you know, cut the music and go back here.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Barrett.
Yes. Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Yourself?
Good, good. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for being tonight here with us at the Metal Meltdown. We are live and in Technicolor. How are you?
Yeah. Relatively alive, also probably in color.
Of course, yes. I hope you are. Great. Yeah, thanks for being with us tonight. And
it's my pleasure.
Yes. All right. So I guess for people that are new to All Else Fails, can you tell us a little bit of, I guess, history of the band? There has been many, none, any, you know, band members changes. Yeah, how long have you been together? How long has the band has been playing?
Sure. I've lost count, to be honest. I think we're on 16 or 17 years at this point. So we've been going for a very long time. Generally speaking, we're a progressive metalcore band, generally fairly heavy, screaming, singing, technical music, that sort of stuff. We've gone through lots of member changeovers over the years. I founded the band, like I said, 17 or so years ago. And, the whole thing over the years has been that we never wanted to really do the same thing twice. So, you know, we tried to change up the albums a lot. And, you know, when you go this long, we've gone from being just a bunch of guys in a basement playing music to a touring band to back to guys in the basement playing music to an overseas touring band to everything. So, yeah, we've had people come and go throughout the years, and somehow we're still going.
Nope, sounds good. Like, yeah, I hear you. Sometimes there's little changes. Sometimes there's a lot of changes. But, I guess, you know, as long as the band, the essence remains, that's the cool thing.
Yeah, I totally agree.
How many albums do you have out, or EPs, or both?
That's also a pretty good question. I think this was our ninth, really. Like I said, you lose track over a handful of years. Like,
yes.
Our recent album, The Incident at Black Lake, is our ninth, really. So it's been a mix of albums and EPs over the years, a little bit of both. We're a little bit slow making music as far as our writing process goes, and that's always kind of been the case. So whereas some bands can pump out a 10-song album every couple of years, we tend to get between 5 and 7, you know, songs we really like, things we're really happy to put out, really happy to support and play for a few years. So we tend to do longer songs and shorter albums as far as the amount of songs go. So yeah, it's kind of a mix.
Sounds good. Another question they ask the bands is, so how did the name came upon? Like, I guess, you know, what does it mean? I mean, I guess we understand the literal meaning, but, you know, what does it mean?
Yeah,
and how did you come up with the name? Sorry.
Yeah, no, it kind of means what you think, like you said. So when we were originally trying to come up with a band name for this project, we floated a whole bunch. We played live with a couple of different names. And eventually, I think our drummer said it. He said, well, you know, fuck it. If all else fails, we'll just play music we like or something along those lines. And that was it. I was like, yeah, if all else fails, that's the one. And we just kind of stuck with it, which is, for us, is kind of an interesting name because I think it's it doesn't sound as heavy as we are. I think in the past, people used to think we were a hard rock band or an emo band or a hardcore band or whatever. But yeah, generally, we've always been fairly heavy, and I don't think the name gets that across necessarily. But I also think that's kind of cool. So, you know, we're not called Gorgoroth or whatever, but it doesn't reflect.
No, sounds good. You know, I mean, another great example of, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. So there you go.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
The other question I had was in terms of, I guess, the composition, like, does somebody take care of the lyrics? Is the music like a group effort? Does somebody has the lead? How does it work with All Else Fails?
Sure. We don't really have any hard rule sets with that. Generally speaking, I handle lyrics as the vocalist, but that's not a hard rule either. If somebody else has a good idea, we'll take it. And that's kind of the same with the music. It's whoever has an idea that we like and think it'll make a good song that'll fit the album that we're working on or that is a good vibe or change for the band. We're happy to kind of run with it. So in the past, I've done a lot of writings. It kind of depends on who the lineup is. We've really had about three major lineups throughout the years. Mm-hmm. We had our original one that ran kind of during our early couple albums. And we did almost a full changeover. And then that version of the band ran for a really long time. And in that version, everybody wrote pretty equally. Then we kind of, that all ended just before the pandemic. We kind of, maybe a year before, we all just kind of, people started splitting up and going their separate ways again a little bit. You know, we've been going in that lineup for about 5 or 6 years. And now with our new one, it's a little bit different. Our guitar player, John, kind of has been taking the lead on a lot of our writing, which is great. I'm feeling more like the idea of taking other people's kind of input and then working around it instead of just writing everything myself, which has been a really nice change. So he's been kind of taking the lead on that, but we have some new stuff in the works that our bassist has been writing. So it's really just kind of whoever has the idea. I think it would be kind of counterproductive to demand that only one person is allowed to write it. That's kind of a dumb idea. The whole point of a band is having, you know, a handful of people that you can collaborate with.
Yes, I guess. I agree with you. That's a solid concept, you know, having a band versus, you know, a soloist.
Yeah, exactly. You want to write everything and control everything? Be a solo artist. You're right.
Yes. Oh, this is interesting. I'm sure it has been probably implied before, but I think this is probably one of the first times that I hear somebody actually say it. So, perfect. Thank you for that.
yeah, awesome.
Another question I ask is, have your either the latest ones or All or None, like have your albums been like theme/concept, any of them, many of them, none of them, or is it more kind of how the time is, how the moment feels?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both for us. In the past, a lot of our albums have been very roughly themed, kind of around. When we started out, we were very political. We're very much about like socioeconomic issues. That went for a while. We involved ourselves in a lot of causes, did a lot of charity work, did a lot of that sort of thing. And then kind of in the middle section, like I said, there's kind of been three phases. In the middle section, it was more, we were just writing what was kind of the moment, how we were all feeling, what we were all experiencing, that sort of thing. And then our last album is, I I'm hesitant to call it a concept album because that kind of implies that you wrote a story and then wrote that story into an album. And that's not exactly how this one came across, but it definitely has a concept for the whole thing. This last album is actually it's our first personal one, which, you know, you hear people say a lot, like, oh, this is a very personal album for me. I don't really mean it like that. Like, I was writing about, you know, just myself, but that's kind of exactly what was happening. Mm-hmm. I went through a really interesting couple of years, the past few years, and just kind of out of nowhere, I was struggling with a lot of like addiction issues, a lot of mental illness, a bunch of that sort of thing. And then very seriously, so to the point that we spent, it's only a 4-song album, so an EP technically, not even technically, it's just an EP, but we spent almost 2 full years writing it. And the day we finished the very last notes, I checked myself into rehab and went off. And it was interesting coming back and listening to what I'd been doing kind of during that time, because it's just, I didn't really realize how much I was writing about myself and my experiences. I thought I was just kind of telling stories, but on a retrospective listen with a more clear mind, I was kind of detailing the insanity of my experiences over that couple of years that we were writing the album. So I'm not sure it counts as a concept album in that regard, but it is certainly high concept as far as what the content matter is. And then as far as the videos and that sort of thing that have released with it, it's very high concept. What we've been doing is we're gearing up to release our last video, which is for Flesh X as well, probably in about a week and a half, 2 weeks, just before we head out on tour. And when that's finished, we're going to be stitching all the albums together, or all the music videos together. And it's essentially a short-length film that we've been creating and just releasing in pieces. So it's definitely high concept in that regard. The videos are all telling very specific stories. Some are more obvious than others, but the whole album itself is also meant to be listened to as one. We actually toyed with the idea of releasing it as one long track instead of breaking it up into the songs. But in the end, we just decided that I was kind of just too much of a pain in the ass for the average person to have to like fast forward through a song. But it's very much written and designed to be about a 40-minute listen from front to end. All the songs flow into each other. There's no breaks in the kind of flow. It all tells it. It kind of paints a very specific picture. So, I hope that answers your question. A little bit of yes, a little bit of no.
No, that's great. You, I have like 6 points to tell you, so I hope I remember them all.
Sure, yeah.
Well, first of all, thankfully you're here with us and thank you first of all for sharing this personal story. That's really great in the sense of, you know, giving examples to people that we can overcome.
It would be a messed up thing to put it into my music and expect people to understand it and connect to it but be too afraid to speak about it out loud. So I feel like it's certainly something that I'm happy to talk about. Honestly, it's been the worst and best time of my life. So it's at least very interesting to hear a conversation.
There you go. No, again, you know, thank you for sharing. And everything is personal is always appreciated when people share it. Number two, you're absolutely right. Like with every piece of art, music is non-different. Like, you know, I can have my perspective and you can have 40 different perspectives and takes on what it means, what it says. But obviously, you know, once I love when the artist tells us like what exactly was meant or was meant to be said or shown or, you know, transmitted, because I think it makes total sense for us to, you know, link and understand what you were trying to say or show, whatever the piece of art might be.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Yeah, especially with music. I find, you know, sometimes there's certainly something to be said for art that's left open to interpretation. And, you know, anybody can take whatever they want from our music. That's certainly true. But with music and with the kind of inherent nature of the poetic side of lyric writing there, you know, there is some ambiguity, and when there's a direct story to be told, I don't think there's really any downside to just telling it instead of hiding behind it.
Yes, no, absolutely. The other point I was going to say is, like, yeah, when you said your one song, you know, piece, like, you know, you reminded me of, you know, I don't know, Pink Floyd, Deep Purple, you know, they had like one or two albums where, you know, the whole side was one song and it was divided in parts, maybe when they were playing with the orchestra, right? Like Deep Purple. But I mean, yeah, it's not done very often. So, you know,
and I'm a huge fan of it. I'm a huge fan of those bands. It's definitely an influence.
Yes. No, it's really, I have enjoyed them, you know. You see the whole LP, you know, no divisions, and then, but on the back of the album, right, you see four different sections, parts, names, whatever. So anyway, that's a neat concept. I haven't heard of that for a while as well.
Sure. Well, next time you get a chance, put the album on, listen to it all the way through, and see if you agree.
Yes, we listened to the whole album today at the show, but we didn't listen straight. But anyway, yes, there you go. Homework for your lovely fans and our lovely listeners to try that at home. Try it. This you have to try at home. Listen to it at once.
Certainly, and it's definitely a headphone listen too. We went very far out of our way to be very specific about what we were putting where in, not just the different parts in the songs, but in the spectrum of where you hear it in the audio, or you hear it in, you know, in relation to pan or height or whatever you want to call it. We put a lot of very careful thought into the just kind of presentation of the audio with it. And not just the mix, but where things sit and little layers and textures and things like that in the music that wouldn't necessarily come out on a, you know, on a car listener, a phone listener, that's for sure.
Yes. All right. And so in terms of the, I guess, promoting the album, have you have a chance to play out live? Are you still touring? Will you? What's the, what are the news there?
Yeah, so we've been taking a bit of a different approach this past year. We started playing this album live just before the release in the fall. And our plan is that, so something interesting happened in Edmonton. I'm not sure if it happened everywhere, but yeah, this is where I live, so this is what I can talk about. But people stopped caring about going to venues to see shows. And I'm kind of one of those people, whereas I love live music, I love bands, I love seeing amazing things performed live, but that had kind of been, it hasn't really been the case here for a while. And I think, like, as shows opened back up post-COVID and such, I found myself not really wanting to go to just some blacked-out venue and watch seven bands, you know, four of which it was their first show ever, three were good, and, you know, that kind of setup that is designed to draw the most amount of people in with the least amount of care about what is actually coming out on stage. So what we started doing is we realized that the music community here had been really splintered, really divided. Many bands weren't around anymore. The new ones that were starting, like, every band needs their stars, you know, that's for sure. But you know, I was getting tired of seeing the same kind of thing all the time in this loop of battle the band type shows and that sort of thing. So we decided to take ourselves out of the venue scene here in Edmonton. And so we've been playing exclusively pop-up shows and underground events, house parties, that sort of thing. So, like, really bringing ourselves back into the scene, back into what we think the scene should be, and trying to be really involved in rebuilding it as well. So we've been supporting the album in that way, and it's been really, really gratifying. We did some goal setting as a band, which I know sounds kind of lame, but we decided, instead of going to try to just fill venues and put on the biggest shows we can and just, you know, do that whole thing that most bands do, we decided to go for quality over quantity and just really put on shows that the only people who were going to be there were the people who really wanted to be there. And same thing with the bands themselves. And it's been amazing. The shows have been so much fun, both for us and for people showing up. And at the end of the day, that's really what it's all about. It's not about a packed room. It's not about the biggest bar, the biggest stage. It's about connecting with our audience. And it was something that I think we were all beginning to miss a little bit as we've been, you know, playing bigger shows and really just focused on that other side of it. So that's how we started supporting this. In fact, that's how we released the album, was at one of these pop-up shows we played in a forest. And it was super cool. And so that's our plan kind of going forward. But so even with that being said, we are touring. So we actually leave for Mexico on the 14th. I think we have a kickoff here on the 11th in Edmonton. And then we're playing a handful of dates on the East Coast on the Mayan Riviera, which is amazing because that's a place that none of us played before. So we're playing a festival and a handful of smaller shows and house parties and that sort of thing, which I think is going to be really cool. And then come spring, I'm actually not entirely sure what we're going to do yet. We've been touring overseas quite a bit over the last few years, and that's something that we all really enjoy doing. We're all really active travelers and backpackers, so that sort of thing really appeals to us. And we tend to do that sort of tour a little bit differently as well. We tend to play smaller venues and try to spend time in the cities instead of just on a bus going from place to place, kind of. It's just more gratifying for us as a band, and we find that our fan base is also a little bit more receptive to that. But come spring, I'm not sure what we're going to do. There's a lot of talk. It's been a few years since we've been out west in Canada here, so I think it's probably time to hit the interior, head all the way out to the coast. So I think it's likely that we're going to try to continue this thing we're doing and just head back out that way. I know once upon a time, this underground scene was flourishing. I have no idea what the state of it is right now out west, but we're going to find out.